Sticks.
Yo.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you, Todd?
Good, man. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for jumping on the podcast here in Vancouver.
Of course, dude.
Right on. So, of course, you guys are going to be back in our fine city. It's coming up pretty quick, I guess. April 11th through the 13th, the Commodore Ballroom always, I mean, it's always a great place to play.
We're not coming.
Yeah, that's it. You put your foot down and somebody else has come before you.
Yeah, it's April Fool's. No, we're coming. We're coming to rock all the Vancouvians.
Yeah, I'm coming in hot.
We're coming in super duper hot. I'm very, very excited, actually.
Yeah. You know, Sticks, Chance has a really good question, actually. He goes, how do they keep, the three-night shows different and fun and unique for the people that are going to be, you know, attending multiple nights? Do you do different sets?
We will be doing different sets. You know, I think we take a lot of pride in, you know, making sure that it's not the same show every night, especially when you do three nights in a row. And we want it to be fun for people who are coming for all three nights. But keep in mind, Chance, that you know there's going to be a lot of different people in the crowd. So that means that there's going to be a lot of different sets of boobs
right.
that you will be able to see, and that really helps distract you from the fact that we may play some songs three nights in a row.
You know, the first time I saw Steel Panther, it blew my mind. Of course, you hear about what goes on at the shows and stuff, and. When did that start? Was it at the very get-go? There were girls jumping up on stage and dropping gear? And...
Yeah. You know, it wasn't anything we were never calculated about it. I just think it kind of goes hand-in-hand with, Tony Katane on the top of a Jaguar, feeling
right.
sexy. When you hear that kind of music, I think it makes people want to screw. I really do. I feel like it makes chicks feel sexy, and that in turn makes dudes, you know, all riled up, and everybody wins. And then when you keep the night going, people just seem to get looser and looser and looser, and I'm happy to be the band to provide that soundtrack for people to want to fuck.
Yeah, well said. And what was that like working with Chad Kruger, Vancouver's unofficial rock mayor, of course? Dude, I caught a lot of shit, man, for playing It Won't Suck Itself on C Fox's afternoon show. It might
Did
have been
you really?
Because I played it like three times in 30 minutes, but...
Dude, well, I got to tell you, working with... Thank you for playing it, by the way. Working with Chad was a blast. We went up to his house, and he had a girl there who her only job was to roll joints. It was crazy. I swear to God.
Come on.
It was like... I'm not kidding. That was her job. I mean, maybe she had other jobs, but that was definitely her job.
That job that afternoon was I'm rolling joints.
Yeah, and you know he was really fun to work with. He was super cool, very creative dude, and the song came together really fast. It was like we were sitting around, and you know Satchel had a guitar. He came up with that riff, and then I found it really interesting to watch Chad come up with. Lyrics, you know, because it's always interesting to watch something when you write with somebody new. You never know how it's going to go because writing is very personal. And so when you do that with somebody, especially somebody who's had that many fucking hits,
right.
It was a great experience to watch his fucking mind work. It was really cool.
Hmm. So what
you
was
know?
That? Was it you guys reaching out to Chad or was it the other way around? Because I know that he's a fan of you guys as well, of course.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember what direction it went. You know, he had been coming to shows
yeah.
in L.A., and, right. you know, we'd known him, and he'd gotten up on stage and jammed with us. And at some point, I think it was one of those things, like, dude, we got to write a song together. And after you say it enough times, you got to write a song together. And we scheduled it to come up to his pad, and it was a really, really cool experience.
Yeah, I bet. April 11th through 13th, Vancouver at the Commodore Ballroom, Steel Panther grab tickets. It's that simple.
I have to tell you, the second two nights are sold out. There's only tickets for the first night left.
There must be a way to get into those second and third nights, though, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, bob, bob. Yes, I do.
Yes,
but
I do.
I want to sell the night, three nights out. It's but I would get tickets that first night.
Yeah, get
That'd
it going.
Be insane.
Yeah, dude, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Let's go back before you were in band, Styx, and I want to know about the music in the Cedynia household as a kid growing up. What are your parents playing?
You know, they listened to records, but they didn't play any instruments. And, you know, the records that they listened to was like Neil Diamond, Hot August Nights, Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life.
Okay.
Like, not a lot of rock for me.
Right.
You know, as a youngster. And I moved to a city in Southern California called Thousand Oaks when I was in third grade, and I moved onto a street where there was a few older kids and some kids my age, and they were really into rock and roll, and there was Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, there was Iron Maiden, you know, and Judas Priest, and so I got turned on to all that shit when I was in like third grade, and I remember hearing Black Dog for the first time on my friend Dave's porch, and just going, what the fuck? And I remember clearly listening to it going, that's my shit. It was amazing.
Step up from Neil Diamond and...
Yeah, dude.
Nothing against Neil Diamond and Stevie Wonder, but it's not Zeppelin. It's not Sabbath.
It's a different trip. I mean, obviously, they're legendary songwriters, and you know, I have an appreciation for that shit, but...
Yeah, same.
Dude, when you hear fucking Plants vocals open Black Dog, it's game over time.
Right. And so fair to say that it was Bonham was one of the first drummers to really grab
number
your attention.
One.
Number one. Yeah.
Yep. When I heard When the Levee Breaks for the first time, I just went, all right, well, sign me up. Where do I, you know, how do I do that?
Right.
And I've been trying ever since.
Just heavy, deep pocket.
That's the coolest fucking 8 bars in music to me.
Oh, I think it's sampled the most of any for rap or hip hop tracks. They sampled that specific.
Dude, that's like pregnancy groove.
You know, don't listen to that music for too long with your girlfriend near you.
I'm telling you, dude, you're gonna start paying child support.
What was your first concert as a kid?
Neil Diamond.
Come on, serious again, eh?
For real, my parents took me, you know that tour, We're Coming to America
Today.
Yep, that was the tour at the Forum in LA.
And how old have you been for that?
God, I don't know, 9,
oh,
8,
young.
7.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, man, and I remember being at the Forum going, this is fucking epic. Like, you know, because he kind of put on a rock show.
Sure.
You know? It was a concert. I remember feeling that energy. The first concert I think I went to by myself might have been Lita Ford, Black and Blue, and Yngwie Malmsteen.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
That is a throwback.
And then I went to Stryper.
Okay.
I saw Stryper. My friends were way into To Hell with the Devil.
Yeah.
I went there. I saw that. And I went and saw Metallica and Queensryche.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was killer in Long Beach.
Wow.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then I saw Van Halen when I was a kid. And then I saw... I'll be honest with you. After that, I have trouble... It being in crowds. I love being in front of a crowd, but I have a trouble being in a crowd.
What did you think with the switchover from David Lee Roth to Sammy Hagar as a Van Halen fan? What did you think when that happened?
Okay, I will share this with you. This is the real answer. When I found out that David Lee Roth left Van Halen, first of all, I was in total disbelief. And I felt like the same feeling when I found out my parents were getting divorced. I was like, no way is this even possible. And it
denial.
Shook the foundations of, it was total denial. I was like, no fucking way can Van Halen break up.
Right.
Like, I couldn't process.
I remember thinking the same thing. I mean, I was probably 10 years old, something like that.
Yeah. There's no way. There's no way. I was like, this doesn't happen, because in my universe, there's always a Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
Right.
You know, and then when they made the switch, I was like most Van Halen fans, I was like not having it. I was like, no, it's not David Lee Roth, And then when you hear Hot Summer Nights, you go, okay, well, they're killer.
Yeah. I mean, still, still, I mean, there was talk of the, you know, the reunion and whatnot, and Michael Anthony, I think it was about a week back, was like, no, dude, that's...
Yeah, I saw that, too. He's like, no, nobody's reached out to me. Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't know how I feel about the whole thing. I will tell you this. We did a festival down in Mexico City, or Guadalajara, I can't remember. Anyway, Sammy Hagar was on it with the Circle, right?
Yeah.
And
the new project.
And we actually got to hang out with Sammy and Michael Anthony backstage, and Vic, their guitar player.
Cool.
And Jason Bonham. Yeah. And they were super cool and killed it on stage.
Oh, I was bet.
Like, Sammy's a machine, man.
Crushing players, man. Crushing.
Yeah, it was matching a rock and roll clinic in the coolest way.
Totally. I want to get to a few of Steel Panther questions, fan questions as well here while we're plowing through.
Sure.
Miranda actually has a really good one. She wants to know, are you guys currently working on a documentary?
No. We have so many irons in the fire. Not a documentary. Like, I can't tell you exactly what we're working on, but we have some killer things in the works. As far as, obviously, you know, we have a record coming. We can talk about that if you want. But
yeah, of course, yeah.
But as far as for television or future, there are a couple different things that are past the germination point of an idea, and we're actually getting into some logistics about how to pull it off. And when we do, I can't say too much because I don't want to give it away.
Sure.
But I feel like we're going to be able to do everything that Steel Panther is capable of. And you know, that's the cool thing about being in Steel Panther. It's like, we're not just a band that puts a record out and tours and then waits and then puts a record out. It's like, we can do, you know, stuff for YouTube. We can do a series. We could do a feature if it's right. And actually, there's something on the table right now. It's looking very exciting, but not quite the documentary yet.
What did you think of the Motley Crue movie?
I thought that, how do I want to say this? I thought it was really fun in the beginning. And that's the shit that I wanted to see myself. Because it's like, it's Motley Crue, you know? It's rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And when it took the turn to dark Seriousville, almost like a, you know, like they were trying to, you know, in their interviews, they're like, well, we wanted to show the dark side of drugs. I mean, that's cool, but I don't want my party mixed with
right.
the dark side.
Don't dip the chocolate into the peanut butter.
Yeah, dude, don't dip. I don't like strawberry. I don't like strawberries and chocolate mix. And that's what it was. It was a whole bunch of strawberries and then some chocolate. And I was like, nah.
Yeah, I feel you.
If it was all fun and games, I would have been fully ready for it. But it took the dark serious tone for me personally, and I was like, I don't want the dark serious tone with my Motley Crue.
Right. I have a star on my hand. You know, homage to Tommy Lee. I drum because of him, and you know, to watch it as a massive fan, there was more good things than bad things. But there was enough cheese and kind of like, you know, I couldn't suspend my disbelief with the guy that played Mick Mars for the entire, you know, I don't know. It's tough. Like it, when you're endeared to a band like that and you, I guess what it is, I just had too high of expectations.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I thought Jeff Tremaine, to be honest with you, I thought Jeff did a really good job. But the story, you know, I guess I just wanted it to be like a big giant Motley Crue concert. You know, they're a fucking legendary band, but the heroin on a silver platter for me was that's where I checked out.
You're like, all right, yep. Waiter.
Yep. Check please.
Yes. What are you? What are you watching? Speaking of watching shows like Netflix, binging and stuff.
I'm watching a show called OA.
Oh, I've heard that's great.
It's fun, dude.
Released the second season or something like that.
Yep, I'm into that. And then, have you seen Love, Death, and Robots?
No, but I saw it because it was like one of their title things or whatever for a few days there. But no, I didn't bite.
Just watch. fucking cool thing about them is that they're not, it's not a big story arc. Each one's individual.
Okay.
And they range from 12 to 16 minutes. So just watch the first one.
Yeah.
And take it in, because they're all animated, but they're all different styles.
Oh.
And the first one, the story's so badass. Just check it out. Watch one and tell me if you don't dig it.
Okay, okay. How about, do you get into Black Mirror?
No, I haven't. You know what? I watched
that's insane.
The one, I watched the one with Ron Howard's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like the Facebook points one.
Yeah. Trippy, right?
That's the only one. What's that?
Trippy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I haven't gone too deep on it, though.
It's kind of the same sort of thing. Like, it doesn't capture another storyline to the storyline. It's like all individual shows.
But dude, I like that.
It is, yeah, man, same. And it is like, man, some good writing, some good acting, really, like, just mind-bending stuff on that show. So much good stuff. You know, I just watched, what was it the other night? King Arthur. And it was...
How's that?
Dude, it was awesome. Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like, wait, I just went in with low expectations for this one, but I like, it blew my mind, man. Some of the visual effects of like magicians and wizards and just huge beasts and awesome fight scenes. And yeah, it was, dude, it was top notch, man. If you're into that.
I played Dungeons & Dragons when I was a kid.
Shut up, did you really?
I did, dude. My kid, my friend Dave, who I told you about.
Like, his brother Michael, he was the DM, was the
Dungeon Master.
Nice.
Come on,
what
bro.
Can I say for me, man? What was your character?
Dude, I think I was a, God, it's so hard to remember. I think I was a warrior.
Okay.
And I had high hit points. And my buddy Dave was a cleric. I remember that, dude. And we used to sit there with graph paper and we'd draw the dungeon out as his brother was describing and shit. And we'd battle orcs I was shitty at it, but I enjoyed the hang.
Oh yeah, man. The hang and just like thinking of that world and really kind of diving in. I was always a mage, magic, and my buddy would always play a ranger or whatever the hell it was. And
oh, that's what I was, a ranger.
Yeah, not, man.
A warrior, a ranger.
Dude, so good. Like, it was...
we had the Monster Manual and Deities and Demigods. You remember that book?
The blue book for the... Yeah, wow.
Come on, that's bro.
That's taking me back, dude. Like, elementary, man.
Old school.
Into dipping into high school a little bit with D&D for me as well, you know.
Oh, I wouldn't say that on the air.
Well, we'll keep it around there. Do you believe aliens have visited Earth?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I guess here's the thing. I just think that the universe is far too big for us to be the only living things in it.
Right.
And I feel like, I don't know if aliens have visited Earth, but I do believe that we aren't the only living things in the galaxy,
in the universe. Kind of universe.
Yeah. I mean, it's too fucking big, dude. Too many chances for chaos to happen again.
There has to be something. I mean, when you go back and you look, I mean, just the like, dig around about the pyramids for one thing, and the degrees that it was designed, built. There's really exceptional things that even today's technology wouldn't be able to do.
It's crazy, man. I mean, look, I just think it's far too egotistical of us to think that we're the center.
Right. I totally agree.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you're into D&D, so that means comic books too, then, as a kid.
No.
What? Really? That's surprising.
Never made the connection, dude.
Wow. Okay.
I had friends that were fully into it, but I never got, I never was into comics. I think I gravitated towards music too much. Like, I got way into music and that became my hobby. And then obviously my life, you know?
Right. Well, you watch all the Avengers and everything else, X-Men and Suicide Squad stuff now, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff. I mean,
I love the Deadpool movies, man.
He's so good, man. Ryan Reynolds is from Vancouver, too.
You know what? Thank you for Ryan Reynolds.
I know, right? That kid is absolute gold. I don't know if you follow, do you follow him on social media and the way that he interacts? It's just
no, I don't. I just, you know, he seems like he's a cool guy, and he kills me in the Deadpool movie.
Yeah. If you could have a superpower, which one would you want to have?
Oh man, if I could have a superpower, it would probably be invisibility at will.
Yeah, that says a lot too. What would you want to use it for?
Well, look, I don't want to say exactly what I would use it for, except for I would use it to go into federally insured banks and take money out of the vault.
I wouldn't want to say exactly what I would do, but I'd probably steal.
But something like that, similar.
Right.
But you know,
wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome, dude?
It would be awesome because all you have to do is hang tight until the armored or look, the armored car opens.
Right.
Sneak right in. I mean, you would not have to worry about money at all, you would be the world's best spy.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And so there's that.
No doubt.
You know, so you could go all you could travel all over the world. They'd fly you because nobody would know who you were, and you go invisible, listen to some secrets from some, you know, crazy, enemy, and then all of a sudden you come back with all the intel, and we're ahead of the game.
Sitting in the cockpit.
In it.
In it.
Dude.
In the fucking cockpit.
You're fucking in it, dude. Man, you can just do so much shit if you could be invisible.
Yeah,
I would like to say fly, but
no.
It'd be too hard. It'd be too hard to you know. I mean, how do you make money by just flying?
Yeah.
How do I retire? That's what I'm saying.
Right. I always thought teleportation was the one, because then you could teleport into the bank.
That is. There's no question.
Would you be rad?
Be my second choice.
Because right now I could just teleport and, you know, be hanging with you and having a beer. And
that would be cool.
That would be cool.
That'd be great for your podcast.
It would be awesome. Yes, it would be. It'd be good for your band, bro.
Yes.
Thank you again for doing this tonight, Styx. A couple more questions and I'll let you go. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
No, but I did take so many drugs one time while I was playing a show. I did have an out-of-body experience.
Come on, really? For real?
I'm not playing with you, dude. It must have been 1997, 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing a show in San Francisco with a band that you had never heard of. And before the show, I did ecstasy, GHB, weed, pain pills, and I drank. And this was at a time in my life, Todd, where I was doing a lot of fun things.
Right.
And
right.
I remember I was playing the drums, and this was at a club called the DNA Lounge in San Francisco.
Okay.
And I remember playing, and I think I'm rocking, and all of a sudden I start to float up, and I'm watching myself. I don't know if it really happened, but I remember clearly in my mind watching myself from above.
Wow.
And watching the whole venue. And I was looking down at me playing the drums. And that was the last time I did that many drugs before a show. It was crazy.
Totally, man. Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, that's not something you just do or try.
Yeah, well,
that's something you work up to.
Right, yeah, you're not going to replicate that tonight just because.
No, dude, no, and I'll tell you this, there's far too much at stake right now. Like,
there's
too many people that come see us, and I want to put on the best fucking show possible, and I want to remember it, because they're all fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was going to ask a career highlight, but I think we might have...
That was my career highlight, literally. A career highlight may have been, well, there's a few. I can tell you that a defining moment in our career was when we first went over to play Download Festival at Donington.
Yeah.
In 2009. Awesome. The first time we went to play, we played in a tent, which is basically like a third stage there.
Right.
And our record had come out a week before we played. we are getting ready to go on stage, and I'm like fucking tripping, and you know, I'm nervous. It's our first festival, and all of a sudden, like we were hoping, you know, 500 people would be there to watch us, and the tent holds about 4,000 people, and the tent is rammed. People have signs. People have, you know, Asian hats. They have banners saying community property. Like, they knew the shit. And so the tent was rammed, and it was still 20 people deep all the way around the outside of the tent. And there was probably 7,000 people there.
Awesome.
And, yeah, and, man, I remember just going, holy shit, there's something spectacular happening. So that was a definite high point. And then going back to Download after that, a couple times later, and playing the main stage was unbelievable. 85,000-90,000 people all singing Community Property.
Right.
Is pretty amazing.
That is pretty awesome, dude. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, actually, no, before I let you go, you'd mentioned the album. There's a new music coming out. Do you have a date for that, or is there a record title? What can you tell us?
We have a record title, but I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
It's
coming.
It's a very good. It's a very big idea. The record title is a very, very big concept. It's awesome.
Does that have anything to do with Flat Earth?
Zero to do with Flat Earth. It has zero to do with Flat Earth. It has everything to do with Steel Panther. And we hopefully will have the record out, you know, before the end of this year. I'm like at 95%, you know, right. We'll have it. We're shooting for third quarter, end of third quarter, but yep. I don't know for sure. But, you know, we tour a lot, so
yep.
we're really trying to get it done.
Deadly.
But all the music's written, and I'll tell you this, Todd, and I'm not bullshitting it, I'm not just saying it, and I've never said this in an interview, except for about this record. I'm the most excited out of any record we've ever put out to release this record.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. The riffs are fucking gnarly, dude.
Such as
gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Bro, I'm excited.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to see you guys here. I'm going to go for at least one of the nights. I do have the tickets for the 12th. I might go for the 11th. I didn't realize you guys weren't sold out.
Come on.
On the first night.
Yeah, you know what? I'm telling you that first night's going to be insane. We're going to be super rested, and we're going to be ready to rock and maybe play naked.
Play naked. Oh, man. Styx, thank you again for taking the time. Steel Panther, you guys are, your social media accounts are always active. And I love, of course, what you guys are all about. And I guess we'll see you in Vancouver, and we'll see you online.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you having me on.